Draft week. Draft week. Draft week. Draft week. Draft week. Draft. Ah, it's here. Draft week is here. Yes. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I am your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here with my big, splashy, oversized, overstuffed 2022 NFL Draft Preview. That's right, people, we made it! You wait and you wait and you wait and you pour through the mock drafts and you watch the highlight stuff on YouTube and you read all the scouting reports from people who probably don't know that much more than you and I. And you just wait for it, and it's like it's never going to get here. And it's here. We finally have reached draft week. As I am recording this, it is 10 p.m. Lambeau time, Tuesday, April 26th, 2022. The draft is less than 48 hours away. And if you can't tell, I am geeked. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love the draft. I love all this, all of it, you know, I love ESPN's coverage. It's, you know, everybody tells me, well, you know, you got to go to NFL Network. It's better. I can't quit ESPN. I just can't, you know, we all know they're going to go to commercial as soon as Green Bay is on the clock. This year, we'll get to see it twice when they go on the clock at 22 and 28. It'll be the Packers run. Like, so we know, let's talk about that quick before we talk about how much all the things I love about the draft. Because it's always the same, right? We all know. If you've been watching, I tweeted this a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't believe how many likes and responses and retweets it got. Because I always thought it was just me and my friends who noticed that. Turns out everybody notices that. It's always the team before Green Bay makes their pick, and it's the Packers are on the clock, and we'll be right back. And you're like, what? And then you have to sit there and stare because they'll have the clock in the corner of the screen even while it's on commercial. And you're like, all right, come on. Are we going to get some kind of thoughts on the pick or intel on what might happen? What are they thinking? A shot of the war room? And it's just commercial, commercial, commercial. Then they come back from commercial. Then it's like the Packers have like literally like a minute and a half left. They'll do like 45 seconds of takes and analysis on what they think Green Bay might do. Pick comes in. They'll literally spend less than 2 minutes talking about the pick, and then it's, and we're on to the next team. Like, the goddamn disrespect. We are a flagship franchise. We are one of the elite NFL franchises. And they treat us like we are the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's never going to not bother me. But just, we know it's going to happen this year, so just be ready for it. Oh, man, I already got one rant in. We're not even 4 minutes in. Yeah, I love the draft. I love the music. The do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. The pick is in. I love it. My buddies and I all text each other, the pick is in, in all caps right before the Packers make their selection. Love it. I love Mel Kiper's hair. I love Trey Wingo talking way too loud. All right, is Trey Wingo doing it this year? Is he still on ESPN? I can't keep up with all these moves. In a universe where Troy Aikman's getting $19 million a year to say Green Bay instead of Green Bay, I can't keep up with all these announcer, all these moves, all these movers and shakers as far as who's where. But is Trey Wingo there? Either way, he'll be very loud if he is. Everybody tells me to watch NFL Network. I know NFL Network has the more respectable coverage. I just, look, I was raised on the ESPN draft. I can't quit it. It's not as good. I know that. Everybody tweeted that at me. Just watch NFL Network. I already know. Okay? But I can't quit ESPN. I can't be the only one who feels that way. Anyways, I just, you know, I'm so geeked. I'm so glad we finally made it, you know? So, quick rundown, I guess. We'll kind of do some catching up. Some quick rundown for the week. Then I'll catch up. This will be the preview Tuesday night. I'm going to talk a little bit about what the show will be in a minute. But I'm doing the preview tonight. And then I'll be back Thursday night after they make their pick or picks in round one. You'll hear that Friday morning. I'll be back Friday night for the round 2 and 3 recap, which you'll hear Saturday morning. And then I don't know if I'm going to do a show Saturday. I'm usually pretty burned out by the end of the draft. In years past, I've been like, no, I'm going to do one Saturday. Then I keep you guys and gals waiting. I don't want to do that. So probably not Saturday. I'll probably do one Sunday unless the Bucks-Celtics series starts then. I'm just assuming they're going to finish off Chicago tomorrow night. In which case, I may... Well, I'll just work around the game. But it'll be Sunday. You'll hear that Monday. That'll be my big draft recap. So where have you been, Chris? Last time we heard from you, the Packers had just traded Devontae Adams. You said you would be back shortly to talk about everything that had happened in free agency. I did say that, and I want to apologize. Life got in the way. Just was super busy. You know, I've got, as I've mentioned before, I'm married. I have a career. I have twin 4-year-old boys. I just haven't had the time to get on here until now. So I do apologize for that, but you're going to be hearing a lot. You're going to OD on Lemps this week, if that is your fancy, because there's going to be a lot of Lemps. I always say I like to overload it. You're going to get overloaded this week for sure. It's happening. So get ready for it. Yeah, it's great. This is just one of my favorite. I love it. I love it. Before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, Lemps, MKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me likey those the most. 4 stars are good too. If you have a comment, if it's positive, leave that. If it's negative, screw it, leave that too. You can find us on Spotify by searching for Packers Talk and look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there. And I'm just going to keep saying it. If you listen on a platform that I don't mention, I'd love to hear from you as to where you're listening. That would be great. And, you know, just subscribe. Again, just subscribe. What do you have to lose? Nothing. It's free. Once you hit the subscribe button, we deliver the shit right to your phone. You don't have to go searching for it. Again, we're not going to tell anybody what's on your phone. That's your thing. Our lips are sealed. Okay? We don't say anything. Capiche? We don't tell anybody. That's your thing. And new Twitter rule. Because I've been on the Twitter a lot, as you know about the draft stuff. I've decided if you tweet something negative at me, I'm not going to reply if you're not following me. That's a new rule. I decided that today. I tweeted something about George Pickens, a lot more on him as we move along tonight. And someone disagreed with me, didn't really dig the tone. And I was like, you know what? I'm muting you, and you know what? Because you don't follow me. I'm not replying to any negative tweets. If you're going to send me something telling me I'm an a-hole or you disagree with me, can you at least follow? Please? For the love of Pete, can you just follow? Then you can say anything you want. I'm like, fine. I mean, I might block you anyways, but you know what I mean. Okay. Enough of that. Now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's jump right in. Let's talk about the draft. Packers draft. I am pumped if you cannot tell. All right. So the format for tonight is going to be me. I'm going to go through the Packers picks as they are currently laid out, and tell you what Green Bay might do, what they could do, what I hope they will do with each of the selections. I'm going to go through that. And then at the end, I'm going to do the mock draft. The third annual Chris Lampsis pretends to be Packers GM mock draft, at least the third annual, I think. We should call it the third annual. I'm pretty sure Chris Lampsis pretends to be Packers GM mock draft. Where I'm going to do a live mock draft as I'm recording the show. I'm going to do the Pro Football Focus version this year, so I can get the grade after, and then I can see how badly they disagree with me. And that'll be at the end of the show after I've gone through all the picks. I think this is going to be fun. I'm pretty psyched about this. All right, so let's talk about the Packers. Where are they at right now? They're a team that's obviously in pretty good shape, but they do have needs of varying degrees at pretty much every position, right? Let's go through the list. They need help at offensive line. They need help probably at tight end. Wide receiver, obviously. I know that's the big one. That's the big headliner position. Definitely going to talk a lot about that. Do they even need help maybe at running back? Maybe a number three back? You could say that. Again, to varying degrees. I'm not saying it's as important, but defensive line, edge rusher, maybe inside linebacker, safety, corner. Like, really? Everywhere other than, like, kicker, punter, and quarterback are spots you could say you could see the Packers drafting, you know, addressing at some point in this draft. So that'll be good. That gives me a large group of positions to talk about, and I think we're going to do that as we go along. So, and then the other thing, I'm not going to talk about, obviously it's been reported, if you saw yesterday, Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV reported that the Packers are in discussions or talking to the Raiders about a possible deal for tight end Darren Waller. If you read Nagler's report, if you didn't, he said that basically they had talked about getting Waller and 22 from Vegas for Davante Adams, but the league nixed it because you cannot trade. If you're trading a player who's been franchise tagged like Adams, the other team, there can't be any other players involved in that trade. It can only be picks. So they couldn't do that. So it kind of sounds like maybe the two teams are talking about almost going back and completing the deal. What the compensation would be, not sure. Could be Waller maybe for the pick that Oakland, or I keep calling him Oakland, that Vegas sent Green Bay, the second rounder, number 53 overall. Maybe it's a third rounder. Not really totally sure. That hasn't been reported yet. Jeremy Fowler, I know from ESPN, said this morning that there was no chance of that deal happening. So take any of that for what it's worth. But obviously that deal hasn't been completed yet, so I can't talk about that. So we're going to act like that's not happening. And then trades, I'm not going to talk about trades. I'm not going to make any trades, I should say, either when I'm talking about the picks or when I do the mock draft. It's too hard to predict that stuff. Although I will say, if the Packers are to make any kind of deal, I don't know if I see them moving up. That is not something I see them doing. I know that's definitely been talked about. I'm not really sure there. I feel like Gutekunst is going to let the board come to him at 22. I do think, though, there's a really good chance they're going to trade back at 28. That is definitely something I could see happening. Oop, almost a burp. Got to keep it real. I could see that happening because there's a number of teams in that second round range that have the ammo to make a move. I want you to just keep an eye on the following three teams. Keep an eye on Seattle. They're sitting there in round two. They've got picks 40 and 41 and their third rounder, which is 72. I could see the Seahawks using one of those picks, 40 or 41, packaging 72 along with that and jumping up to 28. Definitely could see that. Keep an eye on the Houston Texans sitting there at 37. They have two third rounders at their disposal, number 68 and number 80. I could see them packaging one of those along with 36 to get back into the latter part of the first round, which would give Houston three first round picks. And then another team, it's just an interesting one, Cleveland, sitting there at 44. If you go by the Jimmy Johnson scale, Cleveland at 44, that has a value of 460 points. Their third rounder, number 78, has a value of 200 points. 660 points, which is the exact value of pick 28, 660. So that would be an even swap. So keep an eye on those three teams. Cleveland, Seattle, and Houston. I could definitely see the Packers making a move with one of those teams, dropping back into round two, picking up some more ammo for picking up another pick in the third round, and then that would give them potentially three twos and two threes. They basically would own day two of the draft in any of those scenarios I just laid out. Just keep an eye on that. I'm not going to predict that. I'm just saying keep an eye on it. Okay, so now that we've discussed that, Let's start with pick 22. The Packers' first selection of the draft that they acquired from the Las Vegas Lamps. It's Las Vegas. It's not Oakland. Las Vegas Raiders in the Davante Adams trade. What do I think they're going to do here? I think they're going to go wide receiver. Yes. Brian Gutekunst, I know there's been a lot of talk, people saying, well, maybe they'll wait until 28 and they'll get, you know, they'll try to just take the best player available, particularly the best defensive player available at 22. You know, maybe they'll target someone like Louis Cine, safety from Georgia, George Karlaftis, edge rusher from Purdue, my fellow Greek. Jordan Davis, the mammoth nose tackle from Georgia. Maybe David Ojabo, the edge rusher from Michigan who blew his Achilles out at his pro day. Maybe someone like Dax Hill, Ojabo's teammate at Michigan corner. Maybe they'll go defense there and wait on wide receiver. I don't think that's going to happen, and I'll tell you why. I don't think Gutekunst wants to be caught holding the bag, you know? I don't think he wants to be caught standing if the music stops. You know what I'm saying? Which kind of happened a couple of years ago and led to the selection of Jordan Love. I think they wanted a wide receiver at that spot, and I think they thought one would fall to them, and it just didn't happen. You know, even last year, I think they were kind of hoping my guy Rashad Bateman from Minnesota would fall to him, and he damn near did. I think Gutekunst is going to be proactive instead of reactive this year as far as the wide receiver thing. Not proactive in the sense of moving up, but proactive in the sense of I'm not going to get cute and wait. So, what wide receiver will they take at 22? Could they take? I'm going to say this now. I think a lot of the top guys will be gone. I think, obviously, Wilson from Ohio State is not going to be there. I don't think Jameson Williams from Alabama is going to be there, even though he's, you know, coming off the torn ACL. I think he'll be long gone. I don't think Drake London from Southern Cal will be there, although no big loss on that one, in my humble opinion. London is the one receiver out of all the receivers I hope the Packers stay the F away from in this draft. To me, he is a slightly richer man's Al Lazard. I just don't see the speed. I don't see the separation. I watch him. I hate to say watch him on tape because it's not like I'm trying to make myself an expert, which God knows I'm not. But like you watch footage of Drake London. There we go, footage. And I never see the guy running away from anybody. I see him struggling to gain separation constantly, even at the college level. Just reminds me of, like, maybe, you know, like a Mike Williams, if you remember far enough back from USC. Like a big guy who could dominate the Pac-12, but is like Pac-12 good. I don't know if he's NFL good. So, I Drake London, but luckily I don't think he'll be there anyway. So, Williams, Wilson, London, I hate to break Packer fans' hearts. I don't think Chris Olave is going to be there. He was my guy for the longest time in this pre-draft process, but I think he'd be a wonderful fit. I don't see him being there. And this is quick on the trade-up thing. This is why I think he's the only guy the Packers would move up for. And what do they really have to offer? Maybe their third-round pick, 92. If you package 22 and 92, you're only going to move up. That's really going to only allow Green Bay to move up maybe to Philadelphia at 18. And I don't think Olave will be there, but I think he'll be gone. And how much do you want to give up other than that to get a receiver? I don't, you know, I like the receiver depth in this draft a great deal. So I don't think Olave will be there. So those top four. So who might be there? How about Treylon Burks from Arkansas? Love Treylon Burks. Size. The kid is tough. He's versatile. I know a lot of people have compared him to Deebo Samuel. I don't think that's unfair, at least in terms of styles of play. Obviously, it's a little unfair to compare a guy to Deebo who's become an elite player, but in terms of style, I think they're similar. I love Burks. I would take Burks. I don't think they're going to, though, and here's why. He's not putting up the eye-popping testing numbers. Gutekunst very much has a type. You know, you go back and look, the RAS score, the relative athlete score, the RAS score is kind of king for Gutekunst, at least as far as early picks. Burks does not have a great RAS score. He did not run a great 40 at the combine. Now, that doesn't bother me because he's got, as Bill Walsh once called it, functional football speed. He's definitely got that in abundance. but he doesn't have those eye-popping testing numbers, and for that reason, I do think the Packers will stay away. So who are they going to take? Here's who I think they're going to take, and here's who I think they should take. George Pickens, wide receiver, Georgia. I tell you what, I love George Pickens. Oh, man, I love this kid. He is a classic X receiver, gets down the field, can make the big plays. I love his hands, his body control, the way he's able to pluck the ball. He tracks it really well. It's very smooth. But you can see that there's, you know, he's explosive. He brings that element. I love it. Now, I know people are going to say, well, you know, where's the production other than his freshman year? Georgia, he didn't really do much. And he was hurt last year. You know, he didn't play to the last four games because he was coming off the torn ACL. But you saw how he looked like in that national championship game against Penn. He looked fantastic. So I don't worry about that stuff. And I know everybody's going to talk about all the anonymous scout stuff that's come out this week. But, oh, maybe he's got attitude issues. Oh, maybe he's a little entitled. Let me tell you something about these anonymous scouts, okay? First of all, we should all know by now, everything that comes out this week is horse shit. It's horse shit. It's all lies. Everybody's lying this week for one reason or another. Like, I think all these anonymous scouts ripping Pickens and it's all coming out this week. To me, that's all a bunch of teams trying to lower his, because he's been rocketing up the draft boards. You know, I think it's a bunch of teams trying to lower his stock, push him into that second round so they can have a shot at him. So I don't buy it. And even if he was, I said this on Twitter today too, put him in a room with Randall Cobb and Big Dog for a year. Okay, they will set him straight, I guarantee it. And it'll be hard for him to have an attitude playing with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. That too. The Packers have the locker room and the culture in place to draft a guy like this and get him going on the right path. I fully believe that. Love it. I would take Pickens, wouldn't even think twice. There's a little Jordy Nelson when you watch him. His body control, the way he can work the sideline. I feel like there's a little Jordy in there. And he fits their box. He checks the box on the relative athlete score, too. He's well over 9, so there you go. Okay. So, Chris, we got ourselves a wide receiver. We moved down to pick 28. If they keep the pick, which I have said already, I'm a little skeptical they're going to, but if they do, what do they do now? Well, they've taken care of getting one of the wide receivers. And I don't really think anybody else fits in that. I don't think there's anybody else there worth taking at 28. They're going to go back to wide receiver, though. Don't worry. So what do they do? To me, I think you go best defensive player available at 28. This defense is so close to being an absolute monster unit. So let's make sure they take those final steps. What do you say? Couple of guys here, I think. I think Sean now comes into play. Because for a while now, if you follow me on Twitter, you know, I've been sort of scoffing at the idea of taking a safety, even though I know Amos and Savage are going into the final years of their deal. They're going to pick up Savage's option. But as of right now, they could be going into last year. So seeing maybe Karloftis, maybe I like Karloftis. Big, physical, power edge rusher. I've seen him compared to Brandon Graham when he was coming out of Michigan to the Eagles. Obviously, Ryan Kerrigan, another former Boilermaker, he's drawn comparisons to him as well. I do think he would fit well in Green Bay. So he's in that group. I don't think Davis will be there by then. Ojabo, the Achilles thing kind of scares me, and I think he'll be gone by then and he'll. So let's Sean and Karloftis, and then there's a couple other guys I want to talk about that now come into play at 28 that I really like. Travis Jones, the mammoth defensive lineman from UConn. Love Travis Jones. This is a big kid. You plug him in the middle of your line. You plug him next to Kenny Clark. Whoo. Can you imagine? He is power, man. His hands. I was reading some scout was saying he's got dynamite hands. And I thought that was when you watch him. That was a great way to describe it. Because it looks like he just blows guys up when he comes off the line. Watch his practice footage. His practice reel from the from the Senior Bowl in Mobile. Oh, my goodness. He was destroying guys one-on-one. Love Jones. And I gotta do the shameless homer thing and talk about my guy, Boye Mafe, edge rusher, Sky Umah, University of Minnesota, as I am wearing my Goldie Gopher socks as I record this. I love Boye Mafe. I think he's really, really, I love his how he projects in the NFL. Now, let's talk about the negatives first. He is 23. Yes, or 22 and he's going to be 23. He's in that range. So he's a little older. Yes, he is still raw. Yes, he is still developing his repertoire as a pass rusher. Yes, that is happening. I'm not going to deny that. But as a Gopher alum, I watched every game this guy played in college. He got, to me, better and better with every passing year. He was developing. He's continuing to develop. Yes, he's raw, but you could see it. And here's the thing I love about Mafe. He fits the size profile that the Packers love, right? He's very similar in stature to Gary and Smith. I don't have his exact... Do I have that sheet right now with Mafe's? Hold on. I got it in here. I'm sure this is fucking scintillating to listen to. 6'4", 255. So he's a little, maybe a little bit lighter in weight compared to Gary and Smith, but he's in that height range. He's close enough, I think, to them, and I think he could maybe put on a little more weight. His RAS score is off the charts. He's got all the athletic traits, explosive off the edge, all the stuff the Packers love. But here's the thing I love about Mafe the most. Go watch any of his highlight reels on YouTube. Notice how many of his big, big plays come on third down and fourth down. He has that special thing that all big-time pass rushers have, which is the ability to turn it up a notch when it's really needed. I love that about him. And yeah, he's raw, but look, think about it this way. They took Rashawn Gary a couple of, I know he's, you know, he was younger than Mafe now, but they took Rashawn Gary a couple years ago. Christ, he hadn't even played edge. He was a defensive lineman. They had him switch positions. And by year three, it was already paying incredible dividends. Mafe's ahead of where Gary was coming out of Michigan. So it's not like it's going to take 2 or 3 years. It might be 1 year before he's... I think he'll contribute in some way next year. But probably a year before he's a really, really big-time contributor. And at that point, he'll still be, you know, not even in his mid-20s. So the age thing doesn't scare me. So, okay, who do I think they'll take at 28? I definitely think it will be someone from that group. Seen, Karloftis, Jones, Mafe. As much as it breaks my heart, as I do love Mafe, I think the edge group is a little deeper than the D-line group. And the Packers need to get... They signed Jerron Reed... I know that, but they still need to get a little bit better up front on the D-line. So my pick will be Travis Jones. That's who I think they should take at 20, Travis Jones. Imagine a defensive line rotation of Clark and Jones and Reed and Lowry and Sutton and Heflin. Now you are talking. So, and now one more quick thing on the first round. I want to talk... Oh, another burp. Got to keep it real again. I'm keeping it really real. The inside linebacker quandary. I do want to talk about that really quick. Because there's a couple of inside linebackers I really like. N'Kobe Dean from Georgia and Devin Lloyd from Utah. Love those two. Love them. And actually, now I don't know about Dean. I don't know about Lloyd. I actually think Lloyd might go higher than people think. But Dean, I think, will be there. At 22 and or 28. And I actually think there's a slight chance Lloyd could be. I would say not quite as likely, but maybe. I do kind of like the idea of getting one of those studs and pairing them up with Devondre Campbell, don't you? The idea that you could have, like, think about what Tampa had a couple years, or what Tampa sells, with Devon White and David. Two stud inside linebackers. Think about how that defense was able to control the tempo of games. And it was largely because of those two. Go back a little further. Think about the San Francisco 49ers teams that gave the Packers fits. Gave Rodgers in particular fits. Why? Because they had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman paired up at inside linebacker. Two sideline to sideline monsters. They controlled so much of that side of the ball. You know what I mean? It just killed. It gave Rodgers fits. If the Packers were to get one of those guys and pair him with Campbell, they could have a similar situation. I don't think Green Bay will do it. It's just something I wanted to talk about quick because it's the thought of it is very exciting to me and unfortunately probably won't happen. Okay, let's move on to the first of the Packers' 2 second-round picks now, number 53 overall, the final pick acquired from Vegas in the Davante Adams trade. I'm going to talk about wide receiver again. Now, some people might think this is a little high to take this guy. I don't think so. I love this kid. Love, love, love the pick. Don't overthink it. Alec Pierce from Cincinnati. That needs to be the pick at 53. I just love this kid. I talked about Pickens reminding me of Jordy Nelson. Pierce really reminds me of Jordy Nelson. And not just because of the obvious reason. I know people are going to say, oh, of course he does. That's not why. Their build, I think Jordy was what, like 6'3", 215, 220? Pierce is like 6'3", 212. Like, their builds are almost exactly the same. And when you watch Pierce, there's, a lot of Jordy in his game as far as body control. The way he's able to track the ball. Strong hands, just like Pickens. Can work the sideline. I think Pierce is a little bit better, is a little bit further ahead than Pickens as far as being able to work all three levels, short, intermediate, and deep. I think he can do that. I think he's a little further advanced than Pickens at this point on that. But he's got the explosion. He can make big plays downfield, just like Pickens. I can't tell you how much I love Alec Pierce. I think he needs to be picked. Do not screw around. It might be a little higher than some people think, but lock it in. 53, take Alec Pierce. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, what about some of the other receivers there? Jahan Dotson from Penn State. 5'11". Was not wowed by his RAS score. I believe it was not very high. Let me double check that quick. I'm sure this is fascinating to listen to. I don't think it was very high. Yeah, it was a 5.94. The Packers, that's not going to wow Gutekunst. For a 5'11 receiver who can strictly work the slot, he's basically going to be a slot receiver. So he's small, slot, and not a great athlete? No thanks. Nope, not interested. Peter King in his mock yesterday had the Packers trading up. I'm going to strap myself to a rocket and launch myself into the sun if that happens. No thanks. Bell from Purdue, I believe he ran a 40 of about 7 seconds. I think it was like 4.6. No thanks. And then Christian Watson's a guy from NDSU I know a lot of people were excited about earlier. I've never... For a fan base that hated MBS for his drops, go look at Christian Watson's drop rate at NDSU. He's basically MBS. He's basically small school MBS. Height, weight, speed guy, all the physical traits you could want in the world. But his hands stink. Oh, he's a small school guy with not great hands? Pass. Uber pass. Watson, in fact, Watson is only behind Drake London. For me, as wide receivers that I'm going to hurl if the Packers take them. I don't want anything to do with him. Pass. Tolbert from Southampton. I like Tolbert. Could see. I do like Tolbert the best probably out of that group of guys, the round two guys, other than Pierce. But it's Pierce. That's the guy. Sky Moore from Western Michigan I know could be in that group. I like Moore a little bit too. You watch it. You watch him. He's almost built like a running back, but he really makes some wild plays as a receiver. But for me, it's Pierce. So we move on to pick number 59. Oh my God, 34 minutes. I got to get scooting. 59. This is the Packers' own second round pick. We're going to go back. I think that this is where you go back to the defensive side of the ball. And I think there's a lot of candidates here that the Packers could take that I like. There's, Petrie, the corner from Baylor, the corner safety from Baylor. I like Petrie. Logan Hall from University of Houston. Love Logan Hall. Drake Jackson, edge rusher from Southern Cal. I like Jackson. I don't know if he's going to be there. I think he may be long gone by then, but he would be a name. Chad Muma. Is it Muma? Mama? From Wyoming? He's an inside guy. talked about with Dean and Lloyd, if they pass there, could they go Muma? I think Muma's an explosive. That kid is an explosive athlete. You watch him. Wow. Great size. He kind of brings it all. And I like his toughness. You know, he's got that toughness that Campbell has. They'd have two tough MFers in the heart of that defense if they drafted him. I could see them. I like that. There's Nick Benito, edge rusher from Oklahoma. A bit undersized, but he's a speed guy. I like that. You know, he kind of, Gary's kind of power. If you think of Gary as power and speed, and Preston is more power, Benito would be kind of more of a speed guy. So the Packers would kind of have all their bases covered. And then Leal from Texas A&M. His first name escapes me at the moment. Another edge guy. I like him too. Now, there's a great group of guys there to pick from. If they didn't do that, could they go offensive line in round two? As we know, the Packers need some help there. More on that in a minute. Would they take maybe someone like Luke, Goedeke from Central Michigan? Abraham Lucas from Washington State. Both big guys. Big guys. Nasty demeanors. They feel like maybe guys the Packers might be interested in, although I think it's too early for offensive line there. So we're going to go back to defense. I think the pick should be Logan Hall from Houston. And I'll tell you why. Let me pull up his. I think he's listed. What is he listed as here? Okay, yeah. 6'6", 278 pounds. Incredible size. Incredible size. Played along the line. Kind of played him all over the place in Houston. I like that versatility. I like him as kind of a move piece for Joe Barry. They could have him play along the line. They could have him play at edge. You know, I think he can drop back. I think he can kind of do it all. I really, really, I've become quite a big fan of Logan Hall. And I think that should be the pick. Come out of the first two rounds, Pickens, Pierce, Travis Jones, Logan Hall. Let's go. So, moved to round three now. Packers pick number 92. So far, I have passed on offensive line and tight end. Now we move to the part of the draft where I think those things come into play for Green Bay. I think the third round, to me, feels very much like this is where they're going to go tight end. If they don't make the Waller trade, this is where I think they go for the tight end spot. You've got Big Dog, who we love, but he can't play forever. DeGuara, who I like, but I don't think DeGuara is a full-time tight end. I think he's a kind of an H-back type guy, you know what I mean? Kind of like Juszczyk. Little fullback, you know, tight end, I'll, you know, move him around. They don't really have that traditional tight end of the future. I know Tonyan's back, but it's a one-year deal, and he's coming off of a torn ACL. When is he going to be available? Tonyan, I have no idea what to expect as far as the future, what the future holds for him. And I certainly don't think he's someone you can bank on as, you know, if you're saying like, well, we don't need a tight end because we have Tonyan. It's a position I think they very much need to address, and I think this is the round they do it. And if they do it, why don't we go big? I mean big. How about Jelani Woods from Virginia? How about Jelani? Oops, sorry, I just got to check another thing. How about Jelani Woods from Virginia? 6'7", 265 pounds. Have you seen the clips of this kid? Holy shit. Now he's raw. He is raw. He's been rocketing up the draft. I think originally people had him as more of like a fifth or sixth round guy. To me, he's moved up into the third round range. If the Packers try to wait till the fourth round for him, they won't get him. I love this kid. He's got good hands, strong hands. Obviously, the size and the wingspan is incredible. Incredible piece. Incredible chess piece to play with for Matt LaFleur. I think he's a willing blocker. I just think with him, everything, he needs more refinement. Just more refinement. But what better guy to sit behind Big Dog for a year than this kid? Oh, my God. I think that's where I'm hoping they go at 92 anyways. Some other tight ends. Maybe Greg Dulcich from UCLA. I do like him. I don't know if he's going to be there. That might be wishful thinking on my part. I like him. Smooth. Smooth player. But the explosion is there. When you watch him, he feels like a Packer fit. I like that. Would they maybe go offensive line? Could see that potentially. Maybe someone like Nicholas Petit Frere from Ohio State. He's a pure tackle, but I do like his upside. The Packers tend to like guys with versatility. Talking about upside, how about someone like Matt Wiletzko from North Dakota State? Don't like Christian Watson? Do like Matt Wiletzko. 6'7". Freakish wingspan. Freakish. Long. These are terms you hear like for NBA prospects. But you're here, but they fit for this guy. You know, he's a project. He needs to get bigger, needs to get stronger. But man, you think about putting him with Green Bay's offensive line coaches, the way they can develop talent. That's exciting to think about. So those are the guys I kind of think. Now, Woods would be my guy, but I think I'd like either one of those two there, too, at 92. We move now to the 2 fourth rounders, number 132, 140. 140 is a comp pick. I think we got to go back to wide receiver. Got to go back to wide receiver. And I want to start, to me, start, beginning, end here is Kevin Austin Jr. from Notre Dame. Bust out, breakout season last year. 48 catches for 808 yards. It's 18 and a half yards a catch. 888 yards on 48 grabs. Oh, my God. And 7 touchdowns. 18 and a half yards per catch. I mean, I love him. He's, again, now he checks all the boxes like Pearson Pickens that the Packers love. Age 21. The RAS score is there. The speed is there. The size is there. He's 6'2". A little bit more of a developmental guy, I think, even though he did get better and better, you know, breakout season and got better and better as the year went along for the Irish last year. He's more, I think he's more of a developmental guy as opposed to Pierce or Pickens, but it's exciting to think about what he could become. Now, I know people are going to talk about, there's some red flag stuff. He was suspended for 2019, violation of team rules. He's had some injury stuff. There's some red flags there. But I think it's a worthy pick when we're talking 132 in the draft. You know, if you've already taken Pickens and Pierce, two guys I feel like are pretty safe bets, let's roll the dice. Let's roll the dice. Let's go one more time to wide receiver, roll the dice and see if they can hit another home run. You know, love it. And again, is there character issues? Maybe, but you know, you put him with Cobb and in the locker room, I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good that he'll be all right. So, 140 now. Here's where I think the Packers, this is offensive line. Offensive line has to be the move here. The Packers are very thin at offensive line, right? You think opening day, it's projected to probably be what? Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers, Newman, and Yash? Where is the depth? Remember, Big E, Elton Jenkins, still recovering from the torn ACL. You know, Dennis Kelly looks like he's not coming back. They lost Ben Braden. Like, they lost Lucas Patrick. Their depth at this point is basically Cole Van Lannen and Jake Hansen. That's it. Oh, yeah. And we know the Packers were able to keep afloat last year largely because of their depth at offensive line. That needs to be addressed. Talked about Petit Frere. Talked about Wiletzko. Let's talk about a few more offensive linemen I think that they could be targeting here in the fourth round. Joshua Izzi-Udu. Guard, North Carolina, versatile. Right away, that gets you thinking. Because you know we know the Packers love guys who are versatile and can play all over the place. Versatile and smart. Actually, those are the two trademarks. Those are the two big ones that the Packers look for. Is he versatile and is he smart? This kid checks both those boxes. Played all over at UNC. I love that. I think he'd be a great fit. Kentucky center, Luke Fortner. Again, versatile. Played guard, played center. I like that fit. Spencer Burford from tackle from UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio. Again, versatile. Played guard, played tackle, not even 300 pounds yet, so he needs to bulk up. But I think he'd be a worthwhile gamble. Yeah, in that fourth round. Do they go maybe D-line? Maybe John Ridgeway, 6'5", 325 pounds from Arkansas. If they haven't gone D-line yet, I could see that. Maybe a corner. Maybe someone like Cordell Flott from LSU, 6'3". Zion McCollum, Sam Houston State, 6'4". Two big guys. Now, the Packers have the big three. Ja, Stokes, Razul. Other than that, it's Shamar, Jean Charles, and nothing. So they do need to go for corner at some point in the draft. I tend to think those will be guys, Flott, McCollum, guys they'll probably look at more as we get into that fifth round. That feels like a good corner spot for me. They don't have a sixth rounder that was sent to Houston in the Randall Cobb trade. They have 3 7th round picks, 228 from Houston for the Kadar Holman trade, their own 249 and a comp 258. What do I think they're going to do in the 7th round? I have no fucking idea. And I'm not going to predict that. I'm batshit crazy enough to go through the first 5 rounds, but and I might have even done 6. I'm not doing so. I'm not going to predict 7th round picks. Come on. Plus, we're at 45 minutes. So now we move on to the fun part. The live mock draft, where I am going to pretend to be Brian Gutekunst and tell you what I think the Packers will do in this draft. Okay. So let me get this queued up here. 7 rounds. I'm picking for the Packers. And enter draft. Okay. So here we go. So we're going through now. I'm going to go through the list here. Wait till we get to 22. Okay. So now we are at... Here we go. We're at 22. So here's some of the guys who've gone already. We have Devin Lloyd going 13. Jameson Williams goes to the Vikings at 12. Wilson to Washington at 11. Washington Commanders. What name? What kind of name is that, eh? Devin Lloyd goes 13 to Houston. Olave goes 15 to Philly. What was I saying earlier? Didn't think he'd even be in a spot where Green Bay could trade up. Drake London, 18th to Philadelphia. Jacoby Dean to New England at 20. So, who's on the board? We've got Karlaftis. We've got Bernard. Okay, can we talk quick about Bernard Raymond, the 37-year-old tackle from Central Michigan? Why do people think the Packers are going to take a 25-year-old tackle? Do they think Gutekunst has lost his mind? Are you crazy? They are not going to take Bernard Raymond. I'll definitely be strapping myself to a rocket, launching myself towards the sun. So who's on the board? We got Zion Johnson. I know there's been some buzz about him maybe going to Green Bay. I can't see the Packers taking a guard. An interior offensive lineman in round one? Mm-mm. Tyler Smith, tackle from Tulsa. There's been some buzz that maybe the Packers are interested in him. He's a big kid, size, he's mean, he's nasty, he's a mauler. But I don't see it. Sean is on the board, Jones. I'm not screwing around. George Pickens is there. I talked about it earlier. I'm taking George Pickens. Okay. Karlaftis goes to the next pick. Smith and... let's see, we got... Karlaftis goes to Arizona. Smith goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'm back on the board at 28. Seemed and Travis Jones are two of the top three players available. Is this maybe a little redundant to do this? Because I already told you I was going to... I don't care. I wanted to do it anyways. I love Travis Jones. Travis Jones is the pick. Moving into round two now. Burks goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Kind of recap. I'm on the board at 53. So who's gone that I've talked about? Some names. Burks goes to Jacksonville at 33. Oh, yeah. Did I talk about Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa? I've seen some buzz. Again, I don't think the Packers are going to go offensive line in round one, if I didn't say that already. I don't think they're going to. No, I don't. Mafe goes to Seattle to pick 40. Thanks, I hate it. Christian Watson goes to Kansas City. So I'm on the board at 53. Who's here? Much to my surprise, Drake Jackson and Nick Benito are both on the board. Ooh, I gotta like that. So to me, with those two on the board, it feels like edge is definitely the move here. This is tough because Benito, I think, is probably a little more ready, even though he is a touch undersized, especially compared to what the Packers tend to like. Jackson, I think, probably has more upside. I'm going to go Nick Benito. With the 53rd pick, Chris Lempsis selects Nick Benito, edge rusher, OU. Okay, Drake Jackson goes 58. I'm back on the board at 59. Now I have taken a wide receiver, a D lineman, an edge, and I'm back. Now, I'm not going to be picking again until 92. Pro Football Focus has Alec Pierce rated 98th. Am I going to do it anyways? You're damn right I'm going to do it. With the 59th pick, I would have taken Pierce already, but I know how the Pro Football Focus board is. I figured I could wait. In real life, I don't think the Packers should wait. Take him with the first, second rounder. But at 59, Chris Lempsis selects Alec Pierce, wide receiver, Cincinnati. I got my two wide receivers. Let's play. I got my two wide receivers. I got a big-time difference maker on the defensive line and a big-time edge rusher to go along with Gary and Preston. Love it. Now here I am at 92. Some players that have gone. I've talked about Petit Frere goes to Philly at 83. Who else? I really talked about. Yeah, there's a lot here at 92. Okay, so again, this probably is a little redundant. Kellen Deesh is on the board. Tackle Arizona. I like Kellen Deesh. I think he's an interesting player. I think he could be a good developmental guy. But I said Fortner's on the board. Flott. I said Jelani Woods. I'm sticking to it. With the 92nd pick, Jelani Woods. Welcome to Green Bay, baby. Look at that. Three rounds in, I got three big-time playmakers for Aaron Rodgers. I am pretty proud of myself so far. Okay, we move on to round four now. Where am I at on time? Yeah, it should be just about an hour. That's what I was planning on it being. I'm on the board at 132. Now, who is available? Fortner went to Atlanta at 114. I was hoping he might slip. He felt like kind of the lockpick. Kevin Austin Jr. unfortunately breaks my heart. He's gone at 130 to Buffalo. So I'm not going to be able to take Fortner or Kevin Austin Jr., even though I just talked him up. I was hoping he'd fall, and he didn't. So that's why I like these online mock drafts. So they kind of show you how – they give you a tiny taste of how hard it is, because you go – you know, as a fan, you go, I want this guy and that guy and this guy, and he'd be great, and this guy. And you realize you really do – you're really only going to get a couple of those guys if you're lucky. So Fortner's gone. Kevin Austin Jr.'s gone. Looking here who's available. There's Matt Wiletzko. Tackle, North Dakota State, right? NDSU? Is he NDSU or North Dakota? I better double check that. I hope I haven't, because I spent a summer in Fargo, okay? Intern at the Fargo Forum, the summer of 2007. Great times. So I want to make sure I'm getting the school right. Yeah, oh, he's North Dakota. Did I say North Dakota State? God damn it. He's North Dakota. Sorry. Apologies to North Dakota. It's not NDSU. Anyways, that's the pick. I'm taking Matt Wiletzko. There's my developmental tackle. Love his upside. I'm back on the board now again at 140. And I scroll down to see there's Joshua Isiudu. Guard North Carolina. There's the pick. Right there in the fourth round, what I've done now is I have improved the Packers' depth on the O-line to a significant degree by taking Wiletzko and Isiudu. Pretty good, right? Now I've got a guard who can kind of play anywhere on the line, and I've got a tackle who could develop into something pretty special. So there we go. We're on back on the board now, round five. Pick 171. And I'll tell you what, it's getting to be a little slim pickings as far as players I've talked about. Who's here? Some of these names. A lot of running backs. Don't know how I feel about any of those. Oh, boy. This is slim pickings. What are you going to do here, Chris? Getting a little low on options. It's like a Joshua Williams, some cornerback from fan. No. Already taking a tight end. Whew, this is rough. Can you ever really go wrong with drafting another offensive lineman? I say no. How about, oh my God, am I saying this right? Lacidus Smith, guard, Virginia Tech. Yeah, let's do it. There we go. I haven't talked about him yet, but he's a guy like a little there's some versatility there. Let's go with him at round five. That's the pick. So now I've added a guard, a tackle, and two guards. That's pretty good, right? A tackle and two guards. I've really improved. Now it's young, but there's now depth along the offensive line. We're ripping through round six now. We're moving into round seven. Hold on here. Oh, I'm on the clock. Am I on the clock again? All right, I picked 228. So, what spots have I not addressed yet? I have three seventh-round picks. I haven't taken a corner yet, have I? Let's look at Deron Bland, corner from Fresno State, 6'2", 200 pounds. Picked off two passes last year. You know what? Let's go with that. Let's add another corner. Can you ever really go wrong adding a corner to the room? I say no. Deron Bland at pick 228 goes to the Packers. Okay. I'm going to be up on the board here again in a minute. 249. Okay. Got it on the corner. I'd like to see, you know, I would like to see the Packers add a running back at some point in this draft. You're going to have Kylan Hill coming off the torn ACL. Patrick Taylor, who I thought showed some things, but I would like to add another guy. Some more competition. How about Jalen Warren, Oklahoma State? Small, 5'8", you know, 200 pounds. But this is a guy who had 1,216 yards last year and 11 scores. Let's roll the dice. At pick 249, Jalen Warren, running back, Oklahoma State. Come now to the final pick at 258. Apologies to Adam Summers, by the way. I was not able to take Smoke Monday. I'm sorry. So Ron Wolf said, you should always try to add a quarterback every year. I'm going to do that at pick 258. Am I trolling Badger fans? Maybe. I'm going to take Jack Cohn, quarterback from Notre Dame. Why not? Let's roll the dice. Physical tools. There we go. The draft has been completed. They're grading my draft as we speak. No, I'm not unlocked. What? No, I want that. Okay. Pro Football Focus gives me a draft grade of B. George Pickens, they rated a B+. They did not like my selection of Travis Jones at 28. I don't give a shit. Benito got an A. Oh, my God. They gave the Alec Pierce pick a D+. Because they had him rated 90. I don't care. I think Pierce has the potential to be one of the best. I'll say it right now. I think Pickens and Pierce have the potential to be two of the best five wide receivers to come out of this draft. Two of the best, I wouldn't even say that, best three or four wide receivers to come out of this draft. I really, really believe that. As someone who's looked at these guys, has watched them, has read up on them, studied up on them, I feel like these two guys fit what the Packers want to do. They feel like players that would work well with Rodgers. They've got good hands. Feel really good about that. Right? Jones goes along the rotation up front. Benito can kind of be brought kind of a pass rush specialist, at least initially, but a guy that could be a real weapon when you look at him as the number three edge rusher behind Preston and Rashawn Gary. They gave the Jelani Woods pick a C. I don't care. I think he's big time. Well, let's go B. Isiudu C+, which is weird, but whatever. I think I really fixed the depth. Those three picks. Well, let's go Isiudu and Smith. B, C+, A, but now I came out of the draft with a tackle and two guards, and there's versatility and there's developmental upside there. Love it. I added a corner in round 7 to go into my group now. Could be in that battle for the number 4 or number 5 corner spot. I had a running back to go to battle for that number 3 job, and Jack Cohn to troll Badger fans. Why not? So there you go. That's what they gave me, a B overall. I give myself, as usual, an A+. Nice work, Lemps. Thank you, Lemps. Okay, so that was fun. I hope you guys enjoyed that. It's a little self-indulgent, but what the hell? Isn't all this self-indulgent? I'm doing a podcast in my basement, yelling into the void. So that'll wrap up the big overstuffed mock extravaganza. I hope you all enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. This is going to be a great weekend. Whether we love the picks or we hate them, it's always a fun weekend. It's always an adventure. I can't wait. So you will hear from me again. I'll be back Thursday night. It'll be Friday morning by the time you hear it, where I discuss what the Packers did in round 1, which players they took or did not take. Hopefully George Pickens is in there. I'm going to be really hurt if not. And again, I will be back Friday night after rounds 2 and 3 to recap that. You'll hear that Saturday morning. And again, the big wrap-up of the weekend will probably be recorded Sunday and available Monday. This was fun. I hope you all had as much fun listening as I did recording this. And I'm going to be back real soon. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go, Pack, go.